Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts prove to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight on this third Sunday of Advent. O Lord, our rock and salvation. Amen. Well, today we continue in our Advent series. The real gifts of Christmas aren't found under the Christmas tree. And this being the third Sunday of Advent, actually there's a special name for this Sunday, Gaudete Sunday. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. The traditional theme for Gaudete Sunday, third Sunday of Advent, is joy. And considering how close Christmas is now, joy is something that we don't have a hard time wrapping our hearts and minds around, especially this time of year. There are signs of joy all around us. We're listening now all day and to the evening to Christmas carols. Seems they're on everywhere you go. Cars are decorated with antlers and Christmas lights. Saw a couple of those last night. Most people, even those who, let's just say lovingly, have a grumpy disposition by nature, most people this time of year muster up some cheer, good cheer everywhere you go. Cheer from the barista at your favorite coffee shop. Cheer as you listen to teachers counting down days before winter break. Joy feels natural for most of us this time of year, doesn't it? And it's easy then to hear this text which Anne shared with us. This is a traditional text for Gaudete Sunday, Advent 3, Philippians. Hear it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. We have no problem seeing why, with the closeness of Christmas, texts like this, texts that commend the practice of joy, are ones that we hear. Christmas is almost here and we feel joyful, most of us. But what about those times when joy is hard to reach? What about those seasons, Christmas seasons that aren't shaping up to be maybe one of the best that we ever had? What do you say then? 7 years ago, I was serving as a senior pastor of Epiphany United Methodist in suburban Cincinnati, and it was Friday. And in that congregation, Friday, Monday is my day off at Epworth. At Epiphany, it was Friday. And it was a Friday, the Friday before, Gaudete Sunday, third Sunday of Advent, and I was putting some finishing touches on the sermon, and I was having a holly jolly Christmas that morning as I was anticipating, you know, a day off, and then that evening gathering with our staff for our annual Christmas party. And of course, the sermon that I was wrapping up was all about joy. But then it all changed. It changed when I glanced over at the television. And I learned, and you learned, the name of an elementary school in Connecticut, Sandy Hook. And we wept as we considered 26 people shot, 20 of them children. So after receiving this horrific news, that sermon about easy peasy joy, Christmas joy, that was immediately deleted. And I know the clergy across the nation deleted their sermon they had prepared for that Sunday in light of that tragedy. Joy, or the hope of joy, evaporated like the air we dispel this time of year outside. What do you do when joy feels so hard to reach? What do you do when you look for the gift of joy and you just can't find it? Sometimes this world is very, very dark. And there are other reasons that keep joy arm's length from you and me. Life is hard. It's hard to be joyful when you're splitting time between home and keeping vigil in the hospital room with someone you love who is sick. Hard to be joyful, even this time of year, in that hospital room, even with its tinsel, as you're committing to care for this loved one and have some measure of self-care for yourself so that you can keep on loving this deeply. Joy is elusive if you're keeping vigil in a hospital room. It's hard to feel joy whenever you experience subtraction in your life, relationship subtraction. And that subtraction comes in many forms. The most obvious is when we lose someone to death, someone we love. That's a subtraction. Hard to be joyful when you're planning a memorial service or you're thinking about a service that was held for someone you love this past year, or when you consider that empty chair at the Christmas table. It's hard to be joyful. But subtraction comes in other forms. Sometimes you think, I've given it my all. I've given it my all to make this relationship work, and it just doesn't work. And someone walks out of your life. Or on the other hand, in order to care for yourself, a move of self-protection, you need to choose to step out of someone else's life. No matter how subtraction comes, when relationships change, life changes. And most often, it's not joyful at all. Some find joy so elusive at this hour because of depression. Others find joy to be elusive even in this season because of the demons that they wrestle with inside. Demons who seem to double down this time of year, whether they be addiction, self-hatred, anxiety, which seems insatiable. Hard to sing joy to the world when you struggle to see the light of tomorrow morning. Others find joy hard this time of year because of loneliness. Sometimes that loneliness is born out of separation geographically. You hope they come home for Christmas. Or you hope that you receive an invitation to come before Christmas. Hard to have joy in your heart when you feel alone. The world that we live in is often dark. And life, the life that you and I are trying to faithfully lead, life is hard. Despite the appearances of joy that surround us at home, in the store, in our church, we know that there are many, many who struggle. Many people here, right here and now, who struggle to unwrap the gift of joy. Well, if you are struggling with a joy deficiency this Christmas, I have two words for you. First, you're not alone. You're not alone in this struggle. Millions of people share it. Many people who are part of your own spiritual family. Put away any notion that says to have true faith, you need to be joyful all the time. Nothing, brothers and sisters, can be further from the truth. Jesus never promised us a happy-go-lucky life. Never. But instead, He talked about those who dare follow him having to pick up crosses. And crosses are never joyful. If you're struggling to feel joyful, know that you are not alone. A lot of people right here and now, part of your spiritual family, they're struggling with this as well. And it's part of finding some comfort in knowing that you're not alone. No matter what's robbing you of joy, let me commend to you one of the most powerful worship experiences annually here at Epworth. Pastor Jennifer just made mention of it during the announcements. But this week is our longest night service. Longest night. What an opportunity. Opportunity to share solidarity with brothers and sisters, spiritual siblings, who may be struggling with joy as you're struggling. It's a blessing to have someone lay hands on you, to feel anointing oil as you are prayed for. And it brings a measure of comfort as you yourself pray for others. Love abounds Tuesday night in this space. Don't miss this opportunity. If you're feeling a joy deficiency, do not miss this opportunity this Tuesday. I promise that you're not going to regret it. And if you're having a hard time laying hold on joy, a second word. Though your story is pained at this very moment, it is not the end of your story. Though life seems dark at this moment, the light is coming. Joy is a theme for Advent 3, but for the entire Advent season, the message is that Christ is coming, and when Christ comes, he makes all things new. He came, of course, we remember this season, he came for the first time at Christmas, and of course, with that coming, with his incarnation, the Son of God coming to earth, that brings about our reconciliation, our salvation. We remember that coming. But there's also a theme that the church remembers every Advent, is that Jesus' coming was not just a one-time deal. Matter of fact, Advent is the church pointing her eschatological finger towards the future. As we get ready for the final advent of Jesus Christ, his final coming to earth, and when he comes in his glorious light, finally the new heaven and the new earth, which you and I will be a part of. That's the end of the story. Not your pain, not your tears, not your anxiety, not your addiction, not your depression, not your relational challenges. In the end, that triumph, you're sharing in that triumph, Christ's final victory. That's the end of the story. Paul, writing to the Romans, says that at this hour, creation is literally groaning for that coming. That's the end of the story for you and me, not our current circumstances. And there's a second promise of light for you and me today. Here again, Paul writing to the Philippian believers. Let your gentleness be known to everyone, says the apostle. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your mind and heart in Christ Jesus. The Lord is near. The Lord is near to you now, no matter your struggle, no matter your circumstance, your pain, no matter how dark the night is. This means that at this moment, your story intersects with the story of Christ. Your story and mine, even pained and dark, now intersects with Christ's story and his glorious light as Jesus draws near to us. When you can see this, when you can glimpse this light, there is a measure of joy that can be experienced even during our darkest moments. Now, I know I laid something pretty heavy there on you. You know, your story and Christ's story at the intersection, and your story's now eternally weaved, changing everything. Doug, that's a pretty big idea. Matter of fact, it would be helpful to have a picture, an illustration. So let me try to give you a picture of what this means. Your story, Christ now intersecting, promising that there can be a measure of joy, even during the hardest seasons. And I point to the candle that was just lit for us. The candle representing joy for the third Sunday of Advent. Now, do you notice there's something different with that candle? Boy, you're really responsive today. Is there something different with that candle? What color is it? It's pink. Have you ever wondered? I mean, some of you have been in this church for years. You've watched these candles four, and then, you know, the final Christ candle at Christmas Eve. Have you ever paused and wondered, you know, did we just run out of blue and purple candles? Is that why we have a pink one there? Well, the story goes this way. You see, the original color for this season of Advent is purple. And a lot of churches use purple during Advent. Now, we switched to blue, which, according to the rule book, that's fine. We did that a few years ago. But for years, our candles were purple. That was the color of our season. And Advent, purple, what's that have to do with Advent? Well, purple is the color of royalty, announcing that Christ, the Prince of Peace, is coming. And purple, can you think of another time during the year when we see purple in the sanctuary? Lent. You see, Advent, years ago, felt different than it does today. Advent was a somber, very sober season. Purple is the color of repentance, turning away from that which is to embrace something so much better. So, Advent had the feel, these 4 weeks before Christmas, had a feel like Lent. So, most of us get a sense of that. Well, the story goes that after years of practicing this somber season of repentance, Advent, that some churches began to recognize that it was on this week that people just needed a picture of what is coming. They need, as part of their anticipation, as part of their waiting, to have a little hope as Christmas continued to draw near. So what they did is they took the purple wax of the deep purple candle, repentance, turning away from that which is to embrace something that is so much better. They melted that wax. And then they took the pure white wax of the Christ candle. The candle will light on Christmas Eve. Candle that announces the triumph of Christ's story of light. And they blended those two colors, purple and white. And thus, we have the pink candle for Gaudet Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent. Friends, the good news is that despite the short days and long, long nights, despite the circumstances which makes joy so hard for you to find and unwrap, the Lord is coming. The Lord has drawn near to you. He draws near to you now. At the intersection of your dark pain story comes the story, the triumphant story of the coming Christ. Pink, the color of measured joy. Pink, an honest acknowledgement that yes, this world is often dark and life is sometimes very, very hard. And at the same time, Christ, the Lord, drawing near to us, coming to us. So for those who are struggling to feel joy during this season, know that Advent is not only about Christ's first coming at Christmas. It's not only about the church pointing to that coming day when the triumph of Christ will be realized by all of us, but there's another theme for Advent. That is the comings, the fresh comings of Jesus to us, especially when we are most pained. Friends, you can experience a measure of joy, a state, spiritual state of pink even, as you open your eyes to the fresh comings of Jesus here and now. And what are those comings? What may they look like? Well, it may look like when you choose to step out of your isolation and you find people who love you, people who encourage you, people who build you up. Spend time with those people this season. Guess what? You're seeing the light of Christ, the Lord, drawing near in that community. Or you take serious the words of the Apostle Paul today. No matter your circumstances, pray, offer your supplications to the Lord. Place in your hands, his hands, that which is keeping you from joy, whatever it is. And allow him to gift you with that promise of peace that surpasses all human understanding and will guard your heart and mind in Christ. When you pray, you see his light. When we choose to step out of the commercial Christmas experience and lend help, lend a hand to the poor in particular, you will see the light of Jesus. Jesus in Matthew promises that when you do this, bring relief, food, visit to the least of these, my brethren, you are doing it to me. Maybe the fresh coming of Jesus, maybe you seeing his light is by paying attention to children in sheep costumes and children dressed as angels as the next generation tells in a new way the old, old story of how much God loves this world. And that love will be realized. Creation's groaning will come to an end as the final chapter of the story is realized. And all of us, experience perfect hope, joy, peace, and love. Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice, for the Lord is near. He is coming to you now. A measure of joy is now possible for you and me, at least a peak state of well-being as you open your eyes and your heart afresh to his light. His light coming here and now. Thanks be to God.